Thank you. My name is Fred Dodsworth. I'm the chair of the National Finance Committee. It is Tuesday, March 24th. It is 5:31, and we are initiating our annual scheduled meeting. I'm going to clarify some things so that everybody is clear. Their last meeting, unfortunately, was a technical error, and we were never able to get on the stream. The meeting in between was a temporary and mistakenly called meeting that was not well established and was not appropriate, and we did not meet. Okay, and so this is the regularly scheduled second Thursday meeting of the NFC. I'm calling the meeting to order. I'm going to call out, just based on what we have here, KPFA is represented by myself. KPFT is represented by Myla Reason, who has asked for an excused absence. KPFK. KPFT is represented by Michael Woodson. Would you say your name, sir?
Here.
And WBAI is represented by James Segerton. Would you
here.
Say your name, please? So the only thing we're missing right now is WPFW, and I would like the two call-in user number one, I assume, is Serene. Is that correct, Serene? Serene,
this
if you're...
This is Serene. I don't know how... This is Serene. I don't know how I show up.
Great. It's all good. You're here. 301, can you identify yourself?
310.
Oh, sorry. 310-7-29-23.
Jan Goodman.
Jan Goodman. And you are actually... You're just an observer. Is that correct, Jan? Because,
I'm an observer from KPFK. Yeah. I'm on the national board, but I'm just
I know, I know. It's just we're trying to make sure we have, everybody that we need. And what we do not have right now is any representatives from WPFW. Okay.
Or
so there
KPFK,
it is. What?
Technically.
Well,
I said KPFK because my...
KPFK asked for an excused absence, so they've been dealt with. Also on the screen right now, we have Susan, who is our chair for the PNB. She will only be here momentarily. Steve Kukala, would you say your name?
My name?
Yes. I.e., you're here.
Yes.
Okay.
It's Steve Kukala.
Thank you. Stephanie, will you identify yourself?
Yes, Stephanie Wells here.
R. Paul Martin, will you identify yourself?
Yeah, I'm here. And by the way,
you're here. That's enough right now. Okay. Can I get you the roll? Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Jan Goodman, will you identify yourself as a observer?
Jan Goodman, observer.
And Serene from WBI, would you identify yourself as an observer?
Present.
Great, thank you. We have an agenda. Has everybody seen the agenda? Aki, can you read the agenda out for us, please?
Sure, hang on a minute. Let's see you.
You sent it out. I've got it on my screen if I need to.
Okay. Call to order. Roll call, we just said. Approval of the agenda. The approval of the January 20th minutes. And then we'll set the next NFC meeting so there won't be any confusion. Then an ED report for 15 minutes. And then a discussion and review of the policy manuals. And that's about it. Then adjourn.
Okay, is there any objection to that agenda?
Mr. Chair, could I suggest that we add to the agenda consideration of releasing the consolidated monthly income for the 12 months ending Tuesday, September 30th, 2025 to the public, and that be for 10 minutes. I sent that as an email too.
I haven't seen it, so I haven't seen it. Stephanie, is there any objection to doing that, or is it even possible at this stage of the game?
Oh, yeah, it's been done for a while. I think it was presented to this group a while ago, so,
okay.
Yeah.
And do you have any objection to it being given to the public?
No.
Is there any reason for us to discuss it?
That's okay. Sent to the board.
Yeah, it's been sent to the board. So there it is. So do we need to actually vote on releasing it to the public?
Not if we all agree.
I think we all agree. Does anybody object to that? Okay, so let's get back. Aki, what was the next issue?
Go ahead, sir. In keeping with our past practice, we have voted to move these things forward. So I think it would be a good idea to get an official approval from the committee. Just a quick, you know, is there any objection from you?
We just did that. I asked if there was any objection, and there was no objection.
Okay.
Okay, the next one is approval of the minutes for January 20th.
Has everybody looked at the minutes for January 20th? If you haven't looked at it and you want to make a change later, you're welcome to. Paul Martin is my go-to guy for, you know, going to the minutes.
I incorporated our Paul Martin's corrections on that, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
go ahead.
You have any, you want to add more, Mr. Martin?
No, I just want to ask, are these going to be, confidential minutes?
No, these are not confidential.
Okay. Cause that whole meeting was an executive session. So, okay. So these are open. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Chair, I have a question on that.
Yes, sir.
That was a meeting where the WBAI budget was approved or passed along to the PMB for approval.
Correct.
Right. So is there any objection to the content of that meeting, not just the minutes, but, you know, the conversation, the recording of that meeting being placed in the public realm, if you will?
I'm hesitant to do that because I can't recall the meeting. It was a long time ago.
I believe it was just a discussion of the WBAI budget.
Right.
And I hear what you're saying. I personally am not convinced that it serves anything. I mean, we are releasing the minutes. That's our responsibility. Releasing the audio video. I don't really know that that serves anything. And I have personally seen it abused a number of times. So I don't really want to go ahead. Yes.
I spoke to Susan Young. I raised it at a PNB meeting, I guess it must have been the March, early March, and she said she would work on making that audio available because the budget discussion was not confidential.
Great. Then she will do that, and that's great. Thank you for informing us of that. We're going to put that.
James,
say what again?
If you don't want to go ahead with that tonight, then could we put that on the agenda for the next meeting?
That would be fine.
Make that public. Thank you.
That would be fine. I don't, you know, I mean, there are a lot of things.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so the next item is setting the next NSC meeting. Also, whether we do it every second and fourth, or we just go by when we need to. So we should discuss that.
Thank you, sir. Very much so. I am grossly disinterested in meeting every 2 weeks. On the second and fourth, or Tuesday of the month, it really doesn't serve us. I am happy to work anytime that Stephanie or our business manager, which doesn't exist, or anybody wants to call a meeting and address a specific issue, I'm fine. But I would like us to meet a little on those dates as required, but have us not just do make work. That's my own personal feeling. Yeah, James, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just suggest that it's March. We're about to be in the second half of the fiscal year, and we have not reviewed what has been, at various times by various people, termed the one of the most important things that we do, which would be to follow the performance of the various budgeted units in conformance with their budgets. We haven't done any of that as far as I know. So I don't think it would be superfluous to continue to meet every other week, and I kind of think it would be, I'm hesitating to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, congruent with the notion of having less in public than more, which just seems to be a trend that we're in the middle of now. And I think it would be better to keep our meetings more public and do, continue to do the every other week meetings until we get to, you know, reviewing the budget performance and some of the other matters that we need to, you know, have always been said that we need to take care of.
I concur with you, surprisingly enough, James, except for I'm not getting any of that stuff. I've asked WBAI, I've asked KPFA, I've asked, you know, I've told everybody in these meetings that I would like to see the results of every fund drive. I think that, the GMs or somebody should let us know how the fund drives are going. And that has not been, well embraced.
May I respond?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I want to say that, in addition, it's been, I think, stated publicly, but there have been some disparities in public reports about, fund drive results. And it's been stated by the executive director that it was not just at one station, but at, you know, across the network, that we need to have a uniform way of counting these things so that we can compare apples to apples, so to speak. So, yeah, I agree with you, and I hope we could remedy that.
And once again, I agree with you. It is, as interesting as it is, I really would like to have real numbers. And I know that one of the problems that we have right now is we don't have a business manager for the network. The stations don't have business managers. The GMs are, in many cases, interim GMs, and they're overworked. And they're, you know, not all the stations are paying their central services. It's very much an apples to candied apples or poisonous apples comparison rather than apples to apples. And I am willing to tolerate that a bit, and not jump all over anybody specifically right now. But I really, really think that we need to have an apples to apples comparison across the network. And I don't know how to get that, James.
Yeah, agreed. And I think we'll need some help from the national office with that and getting, you know, ways to do these things that are uniform, perhaps. And but this all started with a discussion of should we meet once a month or once every 2 weeks. And I think I like the language of the proposed charter. Some part of the language that deals with this question, you know, have a required meeting. I think the charter said every 3 months. I would like say more like every month, but with more meetings as needed and as determined by the committee.
I would be happy to have that. If that's a motion, I would support it.
Sure. That's a motion. Thank you.
Anyone want to second that motion?
Committee doesn't need a second.
Why are we operating as a committee that doesn't need seconds?
It's a committee. We don't need a second.
Okay. There it is. Okay. Does anybody object to a meeting, changing our meetings to once a month unless requested at a separate meeting is requested?
Question?
Yes.
Okay. It should be stated when once a month, not just, you know, some Tuesday once a month or something, you know.
Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm
fine with that.
No. Something more, you know, something more definite, like the second Tuesday of every month and the fourth Tuesday of every month.
I'm good with the second Tuesday of every month.
You know, I prefer the third or the fourth. And, I like the once a month thing.
Okay. Well, you want the second, third, or fourth?
Not the second. Anyone but the second.
Can we all agree on the third Tuesday of every month?
I would agree.
Anybody? Yep. Okay. That's just me, Michael, and James are the only voting members of this. So be it.
Could we hear, Could we hear the motion said out so we all, so it's really there?
Okay. And James, you started this snowball. So would you say the motion out loud?
Be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee shall meet every third Tuesday of the month.
Unless requested otherwise.
Yeah. So yes, with, yeah, thank you.
And can you send that to Aki so he can actually do it? Oh, wait, Stephanie, your hand's up, and I need to make sure that you can attend on the third Tuesday.
Yeah, I cannot actually. I am actually the treasurer of a nonprofit community foundation in California, and we have one board meeting a month, and it is on the third Tuesday, which we purposely plan to go around these meetings.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Can we do it on the fourth Tuesday of every month?
Or objection.
I see Steve's hand up. What is your question, sir?
Well, can you see the chat?
I haven't looked at the chat. I'm just trying to keep track of other things.
I need to change that, but it was my draft of a possible motion that you guys might want to consider. But change it to the fourth Tuesday.
So you're suggesting we change it to the fourth Tuesday and you're not a voting member, but your suggestion is welcome and fine. Is James, do you have any objection to that?
No.
Starting in April.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
And in April, one of the things that we're going to look at is central payments. Because that's needs to be addressed. Aki, where are we at now on the agenda?
Now we just had the EGD report.
Okay. Stephanie, the world is your oyster.
Thank you. Let me pull it up. I'm sorry, I thought I had it open and I... Here we go. One thing that was in the ED report that I've been adding to the PNB, so is highlights from the fund drives, if they occur and end close to when PNB meeting is happening. So I can run through those because we just had some of the stations were in the process of and finishing their winter fund drives when we had our PNB meeting on March 5th. So for KPFA, they had a fund drive from February 17th through March 6th. Now again, these numbers were from March 5th, so there might have been more money that has come in since then. I'm just pulling this from the PMD report that was on the 5th. So KPFA had their fund drive on February 17th through March 6th, and their goal was $450,000. And to date, as of the 5th, they had raised $328,000. One of their program highlights during this fund drive was a 24-hour International Women's Day broadcast, a radical feminist audio celebration that ran March 8th from 6 a.m. through March 9th at 6 a.m. KPFK, they had a fund drive from February 10th through March 5th. Their goal was $175,000. To date, at the time of me creating this report, they had raised $162,456. One of their fund drive highlights of what they were focusing on was generating new monthly sustaining members. They had increased their monthly sustainers significantly during this fund drive. One of the things that happened that we're focusing on and just looking at is that their online donating system would face a lot of ongoing bot attacks throughout the drive. And at one point, the internal pledge taking system had stopped processing payments entirely, requiring the staff to troubleshoot mid drive. So they're in the process of still trying to work with the company that handles Allegiance, that handles a lot of those donations, to figure out what that problem was. But even though they had a day where they did have to stop processing payments entirely, they did see an uptick in their donation total and the number of people donating thanks to improvements in their donor-facing experience. And what they meant by that is that for the first time, KPFK selected structured donor feedback right when someone was giving. They had 48 responses who people were willing to stay later and take a quiz, you know, kind of thing, a survey. 48 responses during the drive where they were averaging 4.5 out of 5 stars, and 24 donors made comments that they had a positive experience, and 23 additional ones also gave positive experience reviews on their donating. Another thing that they did that was fairly interesting, and we shared this also with our general managers and program directors during our monthly meeting, is that they created a standalone web page that was just for their hosts and their pitching staff, and they focused their fund drive on Black History Month, and they created they sourced and transcribed and listened to and packaged thank you gifts that were focused on various highlights from Pacifica history that was focusing on Black History Month. And they worked very closely with Brian DeShazer, who's working with our Archives Legacy Project to assist in locating a lot of these materials. And they produced 10 tracks, 3+ hours of curated speeches and interviews, including Jesse Jackson's Keep Hope Alive collection. And the whole thing was produced in-house. And it was quite successful. And so what they did is they built a dedicated pitch page that was organized all of the thank you gifts together into one easy to read page. It had a host could read descriptions. They could play clips from there, and they could pitch directly from that page if they felt uncomfortable or maybe didn't quite know what to say when they're doing this pitch. So it was quite a success, and it was very helpful for the hosts in the station. So we shared that page and just kind of the idea and the process behind it again during our general managers meeting. And it was a page that was just up temporarily, and it was just for staff only. And so we're going to start utilizing that at some of the other stations to help the hosts feel more comfortable and have more information provided to them during the fund drives. KPFT had a fund drive from February 12th through March 8th. Their goal was $175,000, and they reached $185,000 5 days prior to the close of the drive. So they were able to, they reached their goal by day 20. So they decided just to thank the donors and thank their listeners to end the drive early because they had reached the goal, and they just wanted to again thank the donors on the air and also on the website for helping them reach that goal. They had quite a few special events that were going on that they promoted as well during the fund drive. They were broadcasting live from a store in Houston during the middle of the drive. The general manager was also featured on HCC TV talking about KPFT on March 29th. They were planning a celebration of KPFT's 56th birthday with the Crawfish Boil birthday party. They're also broadcasting from an art car parade and having a 3-hour float party fundraising event on Clear Lake. WBAI, their winter fund drive, their goal was $125,000, and they received $142,269.35. They had 604 total donations, with 108 new donors that were joining WBAI community for the first time. And they also made a significant decision to call, which is great. We're promoting a lot of the stations to do this, to reach out to a lot of donors who haven't made a pledge or a gift within the last year, but they donated prior, but not this year. And so they made a lot of phone calls to donors and had 131 returning donors, which were individuals, again, who hadn't contributed in over a year. And they also had 73 new BAI buddies, which are making reoccurring donations every single month. So that was very helpful. WPFW had their fund drive from February 14th through February 27th. Their goal was $175,000. They reached $200,000. They're planning, the time of the drive was leading into the station's 49th anniversary, which was on February 28th. That was the date of WPFW's first broadcast. So in advance of that anniversary, the station launched a $49,000 for 49 years challenge to commemorate this milestone. Prior to the anniversary, they were still just not quite at the 49,000. I think at this point, though, in talking with their staff, they did reach that, but it was able to build on great momentum for this anniversary, and the station's regular fundraising goal that they have every weekend, because they do a lot of the bring in most of their money on the weekends. They exceeded the station's regular Saturday fundraising goal by 33%, which was just the highlighting of that anniversary. So even though we're 1 year away from the 50th anniversary, obviously, they're making plans now on how to market that, how to brand it, how to sort of promote those 50 years. So we'll be ready for it in February. They also had a special event on March 1st. They hosted a listener gathering featuring live jazz and community fellowship, raising an additional $1,500. And it was strengthening a lot of relationships with the supporters, having that FaceTime. So that was an update on the fund drives. And it can be found in the ED report, as I said, when the PMB meetings coincide with the close to the end of what a fund drive is.
Wonderful news.
Yeah, and what was really helpful too is when we have our monthly, sometimes twice a month, but when we have our monthly general manager and program director meetings, it's even when we're in the midst of a fund drive, it's great to be able to have the staff talk to each other and share thank you gifts that worked and collaborate with a lot of the programming. And then we also meet on a regular basis because of the national news initiative that's moving forward for about probably over at least over the last year under the leadership of Ursula Rudenberg, who's the Pacific Affiliate Network Director, and Bob Henley, the WBAI Interim General Manager. We meet every week with Sue Goodwin, who's the WPFW News Director, Lauren Schmidt, who's the KPFA News Director, Antonio Ortiz, who's the KPFA Interim General Manager, and also Ace Estwick, who's the Assistant General Manager for KPFK. And we're developing the Foundation, Pacifica Foundation News. And where this started is that we are coordinating, all of this started March 9th, this news highlight reel, because we've been doing live programming at major events throughout the country for over a year, and a lot of the stations are picking it up. We have another live event that's happening March 28th for No King's Day, where we're starting in with live coverage in New York, and then we slowly move across the country with all of our major stations and have live report from affiliate stations across the country, including Alaska and Hawaii. And all of our stations are picking it up and being a part of that process. So everybody can tune in on the 28th, whether you're tuning into the stations live because you live in that community, or you can tune in and listen to the other stations via websites or also on your phone, on the station apps. But on March 9th, we started a coordinated menu of headline news that are available to all of our stations and anyone else who subscribes to AudioPort. And the headlines are being produced and posted Monday through Friday. They run approximately 5 minutes in length. We have quite a few of our affiliates that are pulling those headlines, as well as our own stations, and using them as a, top of the hour headline news. So we have from at 6:30 a.m. Eastern, we have news that's coming in that's produced by the newsroom at WBAI in New York. At noon, we then have headlines that are produced by KPFA in Berkeley. And then at 5 p.m., we have news that's produced, so those are all Eastern time, news that's produced from WPFW in Washington, D.C. So it's great because all of the producers, we also have a whole group of stringers that are working with us from our various affiliates. We have agreements with them. They've signed agreements with us, and they go through training, and they're just part of this wonderful team that is not only helping provide news for some of these headlines, but then they're also the team that's working with us as we produce these live events. So it's been extremely encouraging and wonderful to see all of the stations working together. And when there's something that is national feed, for example, when the U.S. was attacking Iran, coverage was announced immediately to the network, including all the affiliates and instructions on how to access a live feed, because we were getting the live feed first from WBAI. We put all the information out on our Slack channels, and then all the producers were able to talk to each other, and we were able to continue that coverage across the country. So it's a really wonderful project. And it's just great to be able to see everybody working together and Pacifica actually doing what we're meant to do, which is provide information to the public.
That makes me so happy. I feel like crying.
I know. It's really, really quite successful. And, you know, we have interns that we're bringing in. KPFA was able to secure interns from Cal State LA. So the connection there, so I don't really know how that happened, but I'm happy it worked. So Berkeley was able to get interns from Los Angeles, and they're going through a training process on how to, you know, develop news and how to do that. And they're providing stories from LA to LA and also to Berkeley. And then we're also working on kind of that intern type training program for WPFW. And then we have interns already too at at WBAI. So, yeah, it's been a great project, and, you know, kudos to Ursula and Bob for their willingness to kind of add that onto their regular tasks and help spearhead a lot of this.
It doesn't surprise me at all that KPFA is not able, or the network is not able, to get UCB Journalism School journalists, because they are really snotty little shits. and I've dealt with them for many years, so I know. Frankly, if you had Bob or whoever's handling this reach out to San Francisco State University, they've got a journalism school that is definitely not aimed at trying to become the new Washington Post. It's working journalists, and I think they would find a lot of support there.
We have to build up the intern program. As with many things that are just in the world of Pacifica, you know, it would be the ultimate goal would be able to have at some point like a volunteer director that is at the national office that's not only helping manage the intern programs, you know, getting those sort of started at some of the stations. The stations, of course, can manage their own interns, but also just having a direct liaison for the 900 plus volunteers that we have across the network to be able to have a full-time dedicated support person at the national office that is helping them with any sort of extra things that they need at the stations, to be able to steward and thank our volunteers on a regular basis and really take better care of our programmers. So one of the things that we did roll out was our staff directory. It's the Pacifica team directory. We changed the word from staff to team. And in that directory, we have our paid staff, and then we have our volunteer programmers and volunteer admin work as people as well. And again, not only the main purpose of the directory is, you know, mainly so we can know everybody that works with us, because we have had situations where somebody is, you know, wanting a reference, or they're saying, oh, I work for Pacifica. And then we don't really even know who they are, because they're a volunteer that was hired by a volunteer that was hired by a volunteer who has a program at a station. So we want to be able to have better communications with all of our volunteers, get out those trainings on a regular basis that we need to do, rather than just kind of, you know, having to always rely on the general managers for those lists. We can just pull that from our team directory. But also, even more importantly, is to be able to put a dollar value actually for all of the in-kind work that programmers and admin volunteers are doing for us, and being able to put that in as a revenue line item as in-kind, and then it would balance out as an in-kind expense. But to be able to track the better use of those hours and that dollar amount, so when we're applying for grants and talking to donors, they know that we have this very robust network of volunteers. And then it's also very helpful because we have the election coming up, so now we can, the Pacifica election, so now we can, we're having all the volunteers track their hours within an app that Otis made, which is great online. It also works on your phone, and they can just log in, you know, put in the hours that they've worked, a very simple process, and then we can have good, adequate, good, accurate lists for when we have our election coming up, that we know that our volunteers that are voting put in their required 30 hours prior to the start of the election on June 1st. So it's a great system.
We have two hands up. I want to say before I go to James Sackerton, who's the first hand up, that as a 30-year professional journalist, I do think that that position should not be a volunteer position. If you're going to have somebody at the central operation handling all 900 of those people full-time, it really should be a
paid position. It would not be volunteer. It would be paid. It would be a volunteer. Their title would be volunteer director, but they would be a director of volunteers. Correct.
I got you. James Sackerton, you have your hand up, sir?
Yeah, thank you, Fred and Stephanie. And I apologize. I got my battery got low and I fell off the conversation, so I didn't hear a bit of your report. So I apologize if I'm repeating things. But yeah, it's a real so important, and been hoping for years to get that in-kind those in-kind hours accounted for, so that, you know, we can get that credit with potential donors, and also, you know, in places like Charity Navigator, when we have those numbers, it gives us a better look, so people will be more encouraged, hopefully, to make donations to us. And Stephanie, again, I apologize if I'm repeating anything you might have already said, but when you sent the note around about the coverage that we're going to be doing, and there was a mention of the No King's Day banner that was going to be available for use by the stations and others trying to publicize the coverage, I submitted a question which I guess didn't go on to I guess some people saw it in the PNB, but it didn't go further than that because I'm not on those other lists. But I was wondering if we had some kind of a template, a downloadable thing that could be printed that would say Pacifica with a fill in the blank spot for, you know, WFRG or WBAI or KPFK or KPFA, and, you know, get a presence out there that will be covered by the Fox News of all things and other people seeing us with our signs out there in this sea of people that are, you know, participating in these events. I realize it's probably too late to do that this time around, but possibly, hopefully, you know, the first one was 5 million. The second one, I think, was 7 million people. Hopefully this one will be 9 million or more people. And we're, you know, we're gradually ratcheting this thing up. And hopefully in the future, we could get lots of these signs out, like, you know, like the unions do or other people do. They have their pre-printed signs and they're holding them up so everybody can see.
Yeah, I saw your email. I did forward it. And it's, I think it's a great idea. I think that that is creating a template of like protest signs. I don't want people to not have the freedom to create the signs that they want. But to be able to give ideas and encourage people to be able to go out and, you know, put possibly a logo somewhere would be great. Our reporters, when they're out there, they're just doing that. They're reporting. They're telling the news. They're not making their news. Making the news, they are not a part of the process, but observing and sharing what they see. So we wouldn't do anything like that for our journalists that are out in the field. They do have Pacifica press tags, so they are being represented that way. As far as getting out and getting our, you know, volunteers or people as part of the protest with any sort of Pacifica signage, I think that would be a great outreach for our LSVs, you know, to plan to participate in protests, not only as them, you know, for themselves, but also on behalf of Pacifica as a whole. So creating, I think that's a great idea, but it would have to be up to, I think, the local stations or the local station boards or a group of people themselves to be able to opt in if they wanted to use the examples of kind of postage posters they could use, and then, you know, the money to pay for those as well, because I don't think we could print them on a national level and then mail them out to people. But I think we should, moving forward, encourage people to – we can't encourage people on the air to go out and protest, but we could at our local station boards encourage people to have outreach and participate.
Quick reply, Fred.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting that we print signs and mail them out to people. I was suggesting that we distribute electronically a template, you know, electronic template that could be printed where people can fill in their own station call signs. And, you know, it would be like, I recall we had a climate march where there were 500,000 people in New York a few years back. And we had a WBAI banner that we had people from WBAI walking behind, and you know, we distributed flyers as we went along. And I think in keeping with recent developments, we've said that management needs to, anything that has the logo or the call sign on it should be approved. So I was hoping that management could perhaps, you know, with volunteer help from wherever they can get it among the listeners or the staff or, you know, whoever, the governance people could create some things that then could be distributed widely. And again, be recognizable in California or in New York or in DC or in, you know, Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia. It would be a recognized thing that people could see, you know, the presence of Pacifica.
Stephanie? Yeah, that's a smart idea. And I'm always for placing our logo correctly and properly on things. So yeah, I'll look at that. I have a series of downloadables that people could just go to the station or go to the main website and they could download things. Great. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Thanks. I'll make note of that.
Stephanie, I've been a graphic designer for the last 30 years as well, and I've actually done signs like that. And when I tried to get KPFA to give me a sign for an event that was for the Bay Area Book Festival, I ran into a great deal of trouble with that and eventually wasn't able to get a sign, even though they had one, because the person who was in charge of donations didn't want to do it. And so I would be happy to work with you on a generic Pacifica logo with a slot where we could put in the call letters and the signal of the stations. Whoever wants to use that, including our affiliates, if you're interested, I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. And again, we could just direct people to the website where we're not telling them to go out and protest. We're not telling them because we can't do that, but we can direct them to, you know, these templates of signs that they could use, if they're going out somewhere. Yeah, that would be great. Right.
And in light of what just happened in Texas with the terrorism charges and the 10 people who were charged, we want to be very careful not to get ourselves hooked into that nightmare, because Pam Bondi is coming after people and Donald Trump is coming after people with the determination to destroy them.
Correct. And we put any time that we've had these national days of coverage, we did the last No Kings protest as well. We put we had all the people that were out in the field and even interested other parties at our affiliate stations to go through training that involved how to report the news, not make the news, what to do if you're arrested. We have money that we set aside at the national office just in case for that day someone is arrested or is hospitalized. There's emergency numbers that they call. We have people that can help them if they need to be bailed out. So we have all of that in place for those days, and our stringers that sign up to be a part of this have an agreement that they, you know, that they sign with us, that they also know that we're there to support them in any way while they're doing this.
Can I ask Jan to please mute herself, because she there's noise that keeps coming over and it bothers me.
Actually, I was trying to attract your attention. Not really, but
you
I do.
You certainly have it.
Important. But I actually do have a comment, even though I'm just observing. But I just want to comment on the great idea of having the team directory. But I wanted to remind everyone that in order for those hours that people sign in to say that they've worked, that it is supposed to be under the supervision of management. So just putting in your hours without management actively looking over them and making sure they're accurate is asking for trouble.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. That is a very important issue.
There's administrators at each station that are managing their people from their station. So this directory is not for the listener members who are putting in 3 hours of, you know, community,
no, that is not
you know, committee work or something like that. It's not to like waive that $25 fee. This is for people who are doing work that would, could be done by a paid staff person, but they're doing volunteer work. So it's, you know, somebody that,
that is
we have.
Exactly, that is exactly the ones that have to be under the management of the, station.
Correct.
Manager.
And they are. You can't.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
going into probably too much detail about the directory, but when, okay. we send out directions to each station, the station has the admin, people that did, that, manage the admin volunteers within their stations, and then the program director is dealing with the programmers within the station. They have a template for an email that comes from me. They get sent out to the staff members, and they know who those staff members are, or the, you know, the volunteer members, they know who they are. They get a registration link. They fill out the registration form, and then that person has to be actually validated by the administrator that manages them at the station in order to receive a password, which then allows them to continue with their registration. And then once they get validated as a volunteer admin worker, meaning they're filling the job that could be done by someone who is paid, they're clocking in, you know, they're coming in at certain hours because they volunteer at their front desk or whatever, and the programmers are validated by the program director as to actually working on a program. As I said, then they get a validated check link that only a few admin people, there's only five of us that are admins, they get checked off. They get validated, they get their password, then they can log in. And then once they log in, they have to, you know, fill out a series of questions. And when they do their time card, that time, the time that they put in also needs to be validated and approved by the administrator that's managing them at the stations.
Right.
It's a robust, directory, and, Otis has been working on it for almost a year, dealing with little bugs and, you know, questions that we had a test group that has been working on it for a long time. And then when that test group would raise a question, then we'd go back to Otis and he would, you know, work on it and fix it. So we have all those things in place because we want to make sure that we have accurate and truthful time cards when we have people casting votes.
Great. And Jan, I want to thank you for keeping us legally together.
Yes.
our Paul Martin has got his hand up.
Okay. In-kind donations, we used to do that at BAI in the 80s, but then we were told, you couldn't do that unless you were already like a professional whatever. In other words, if you were a professional radio person who got paid somewhere else somehow but did some unpaid work at BAI, then you could do it. Or if you did something else for the station for which you were paid in other places, then you could do in-kind. Otherwise, they said, no, you couldn't do it anymore. And they said that was an IRS requirement. So I'm wondering, is that still the case or what?
You can consider someone's time in kind. I'll do more research on it, but we looked into this as far as what constitutes what you can count as an in kind person, in kind gift, is if that position would normally be filled by a person that could be paid. It doesn't matter if you have been paid, because we have many, if that's the case, we have many programmers who this is the only thing they do. Maybe they've retired and they said, now we want to do a show, and now they have a program, but they've never been paid by a radio station before. You know, in our world, they are professional because they're on the air and they're doing what they need to do. So where they draw the line is that, where it gets tricky, for example, is like phone answering. If you bring in a group of volunteers on a Saturday to answer phones for a pledge drive, we couldn't count those hours, because in the nonprofit world, according to the IRS, during pledge drives, fund drives, the majority of the people that come in and answer phones are volunteers. You wouldn't pay 10 or 15 people to come in and sit and answer phones, but you would pay somebody to sit at the front desk and serve as a receptionist.
Right. You know, we've addressed this issue and we have legal counsel. This Correct. Is not really an NFC thing to deal with.
Well, okay.
I see that James Agerton's got his hand up again.
Could I finish?
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. The other thing is, calling the producers volunteers, at WBAI back in the 80s again, when we started an actual union that functioned, we insisted on unpaid staff as the term, and I think that's the term that should be used throughout Pacifica, because if you say volunteers, it gets all muddied up, and the listeners who come in to answer phones, they're volunteers too. It's one word for too many different things. Unpaid staff would be a better way to name what we're doing.
Also, thank you for your advice.
Well, also, how do we know about this list that's going? Who's validated it? And do the staff get to see who's on the list? Just like, you know, Joe Blow does some program, something like that. Because staff, we know who's doing what. And it would be good if we could know that.
The people that are validating the list from each station are staff members. If somebody is coming in as an admin volunteer, they are being managed by the general manager, the business manager, a staff person in management at the station. They know who's working for them. The program directors know who's putting together programs. So they're the ones that are validating the programmers that are coming in. So any sort of validation and the admins for the directory are only paid staff and paid staff that is management.
I'm going to move the agenda. We have a lot of stuff that we've got to cover, and this has been beat to death.
I have more questions on it, but okay.
I think that we're going to push that later.
Okay, and just one thing real quickly. I'm sorry, R. Paul, as far as the staff, we've had a lot of conversations regarding non-paid programmers and calling them non-paid staff. In the U.S. labor law, the word staff strongly implies an employee status, meaning they have scheduled shift, they're required to perform specific duties, they're supervised, and if we call them staff, it becomes very sort of sensitive in radio, where we do have programmers that have fixed time slots, they have follow station policies, they can be removed from the station if they need to, or removal. We have to then be very careful, according to any sort of we've had these conversations already with legal, that they are technically volunteer programmers, unpaid volunteer programmers, volunteer broadcasters, community programmers, or non-salaried volunteers, because then we can run into some legal issues referring to them as staff, particularly with not only the U.S. labor law, but also unions.
And California labor law. I used to run magazines and newspapers with a volunteer and paid staff, and it can be really, really ugly. I want to move the agenda. I do want to
say, the NLRB ruled on this. So
yeah.
You already have a huge legal determination. I mean, I was a part of that. The NLRB ruled.
You know, that was 1980s. I don't want to argue this. I want to move this thing. I want to move to Michael Woodson, and then I want to move the agenda.
Okay.
Fred, before you do that, please, may I just make one more clarification?
Fine. Please try to keep it brief.
Yeah. Thank you. I will. I just wanted to clarify for Stephanie. I wasn't suggesting that the fill-in-the-blank part of these proposed sign templates would be for people to say something like, you know, impeach Trump or something, which would get us in trouble with our IRS status or our FCC status. It would just be to fill in the blank with the call signs of the Pacifica network, Pacifica National Network radio station that you were from, you know, across the country in these kinds of, you know, nationwide demonstrations. So it would be something like, progressive news coverage or, you know, something generic, which lets people know we're here covering you, we're here supporting you. Tune in to us to listen about this event, not to take a political position.
I'm going to move us to Michael Woodson.
Yeah, I just want to comment on the non-staff. I was part of the the previous bylaws, and I've always been proud at least to be able to say I was non-paid staff, and it sort of put me, I felt like it was something of a labor right and something that the East and the West Coast kind of conceded, but gave us that much in dignity of our labor. And that's all I've got to say about that. But so I think it's diminishing to not call us non-paid staff. And I understand Stephanie's legal quandary. So not, it's not a big fight, but I just want to say that.
As somebody who had managed a number of people and then got sued by the Labor Commission, I think that the laws in every state are somewhat differently, and it's a really it's really something that needs to be handled by an attorney. Can I move the agenda, Aki?
Sure. So the last item on the today's meeting is the discussions on the policies and procedures that Susan Yang's Susan.
Yeah. Stephanie and Susan both sent that out. And there are three members who are actually members from the station, James, me, and Michael. Have either you or James or you, Michael, read through that policy statement?
Yeah, I read them all.
How about you, Michael?
No, didn't get to it.
Okay, let's move that to the next meeting because I've gone through it. There's a lot I'd like to discuss, but we're now at 6:30, and I just really was hoping that we'd be done with this meeting. What is the next item on the agenda?
Well, that's about it today. That was the only thing that, you know, we had scheduled for today.
Okay. James?
What about item 8? Discuss agenda items for future sessions.
Right. Well, one of the main thing that, was brought up is, you know, how to handle central services. It's something you can put on the agenda for the month of April, maybe?
Correct. Central services was on the agenda for our next meeting. What else are you at? What are we asking?
I'm not quite sure exactly what the issue was.
I don't either. I would really, really love to address this whole, situation with the National Finance, Anyway, the stuff that Stephanie sent out that it talked about business managers at each station and a national business manager and lots of other things that we are not doing, the role and responsibility of the national business manager, role and responsibility of foundation board of directors. I really think that people should read this stuff. Role and responsibility of station business managers doesn't exist. Insurance coverage, we're not getting that kind of insurance. Financial management expenditures, I thought that was a really important thing that needed to be addressed. And it says clearly executive director of the delegate has the authority to approve and purchase goods and services within the budget. All orders for goods and services must be documented with numbered purchase orders, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, it's 21 pages, guys, and it's critical. It's important. It's, as Stephanie said earlier, it's aspirational. But we on the board of directors have some fiduciary responsibilities here. And I think that it would be really good if everybody took a look at this and at least at our next meeting could come back and speak cogently about how we're going to get here, how we're going to get there, and how we're going to go forward. So our next meeting, we should talk about that. We should talk about central services, and we should look at a way that we can actually get all the updated data on our fund drives. So Steve Kukala noted that actually KPFA announced today that they had made 420,000 of 28,000, I think it was, of their 450,000, you know, goal. I would love to see that from every station where we can actually see what they're coming in with, how they're getting close to actually supporting themselves. That's a bad idea, guys.
It would be a good idea if we got the information.
Yes.
KPFT gave it to us. We definitely have it from KPFT.
We sure do. And we now have it from KPFA. And we had a very, very thorough bit of information from WBAI. And we've had some information from KPFK, but you know, one of the things I struggle with is that we have to generate money year round. We can't just generate money in the fourth quarter. You know, it really has to be a year round deal. And I want to see, as this is the finance committee, guys. This is the finance committee, and it's our job to make sure that we can pay our finances, that we can pay our bills, that we can hire business managers, and even maybe business managers at the station, or at least people that can work strongly with the station management to actually make sure that we have fund drives three or four times a year. Steve, your hand's up.
Yeah, on the policy manuals, I agree with everything you said, and it's quite detailed. Can we start like an IO post to identify the areas that we think should be reviewed? That way, when we roll into the meeting, we just get right on top of those specific areas to and move through them rather than discover them in the meeting?
I would love that. I've been trying to get us to do a little work offline since I got here. You know, trying to do it all within the 90 minutes or, you know, 60 minutes that we meet here.
Yeah.
Is not feasible. It's just
so I did my review and made a bunch of notes, but I didn't know how to share those with anybody. So, you know.
Lava bomb in, Stevie.
What's that?
Lob a bomb in. Share your notes. IO.
Okay. All right.
Paul, you got ideas. Lob your bomb in. Michael, you're up next.
Great. Thanks, Red. Yeah. The issue of having the homework, right? I do remember looking over the manual a while back. If it's the one that was sent out
It was.
And, it's overwhelming. So, yes. I would just second what Steve was saying. It's a lot of homework, and it's not my
no, strength,
right? Finances. So but we're oversight, right? And also maybe we can make strong suggestions. I guess what Stephanie is asking us to do is, you know, see what we see, right? And tell her. And so, if we could have some focus to what's important and what's not from people who know, that'd be great. And then, I'd be glad to give it a look. Thank you.
Steve, you and I at the IO can do that. Go ahead, Akhil.
Yeah, if all these people, send their suggestions, and over the before the next meeting, then I'll try to summarize the issues that are raised before the meeting starts. You can, pinpoint that on the agenda.
Any suggestions, Stephanie?
I could put it on a, Google Drive, and people can make their comments right there.
But with five of us and actually 10 of the people who are the former treasurers, that could get really, it could get complex to do a Google Drive. Whereas what Steve suggested is he just wanted to send notes in. And what Michael asked for was, are there any particular issues that you want us to address?
No. There's a lot of SOPs that I create just for the company in general. But then when it's something that has to do with finance or the document retention policy, for example, I didn't know if the National Finance Committee wanted to approve of the document retention policy. And then does that need to go to the board for a motion, or is that just something that can be implemented?
I read through the documentation retention policy, and it looks to me like 90% of it is required.
Mm-hmm, right.
So what are we approving?
Okay, perfect. That's all I need to know. Cause sometimes I get honestly confused as to what gets looked at by a committee, what doesn't, does what needs to be approved, does something need a motion? So that's why I often just kind of attach to the bottom of these things a sample motion as well, just in case it is something that needs to be approved and moved, then we've got that all ready to go. But with certain things like that, and again, with some other SOPs that we have, I just, you can't spread those out and give them to the divisions as needed.
Thank you. And anybody who has got an opinion about those things can respond. James, your hands up.
Yeah, I can't recall the specifics right now, but I saw some things that I would want to comment on, and I will do that. But I don't think we should go to just saying, oh, this is a standard operating procedure thing, and, you know, the executive director will just do it without the board reviewing it. Again, not finding anything in particular at fault with what's happening here, but in the future we might have another, you know, executive director where we don't agree with what's being done, and we would want to not just have that be SOP. So I think we should do what was predicted that we would do tonight, which was look at that and then have comments. And yeah, I think that would be a good thing to do. And I think it's interesting that to some extent we're embracing doing things that we used to do on this committee, which is kind of go over more general things, not just finance, which some people have objected strenuously to, but now we seem to be moving back into it. And so I'm fine with it, and I think we should do it. So, and I think Stephanie, you know, put a lot of work into this, and it'd be good to have a preliminary review of this, and then it should go to the board. Yeah.
Well, if you'll recall what I actually said to Stephanie is that everything I saw there was required. Not by not by Pacifica. It was required by the state, by the insurance agencies, by the donors, blah, 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 blah. There was a lot of stuff that is required by law to have.
I agree. It's a lot of stuff. I think what you said was 90%, and I agree with that too. You know, a lot of it, most of it is required. And, you know, there's a little discretion in how you do what's required. And sometimes there are things that aren't necessarily required, but you know, you can do one way or another. So I think it's worth looking at.
I encourage you to look at it, and I encourage you to do what Steve has done and take notes and submit them to us, and we'll take a look at all that stuff.
That's the idea. Thank you.
That's what Steve suggested, and we agreed to do it. So that will be at the next meeting. You've got some time now to go through all that and look through it and mark it up. I've got a lot of comments I'm willing to make about it. Not the document retention, but the other document that she sent about how we do SOPs and standard operating procedures. And I really, really would like us to do those things because I don't want to get I don't want to be in another lawsuit. I really don't. Been there, done that.
Good point.
Anybody have anything else, or can we hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll send an email. Never mind.
All right. Can I hear a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, motion to adjourn.
Any objection? Aki, thank you for keeping track of the minutes and of what we've agreed to. I couldn't do this job without you.
Can we clarify the next meeting date?
Yeah, the fourth Tuesday in April. Okay. Unless somebody can come up with a good reason for us to go sooner.
Works for me.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you all for your time and your commitment to the resurrection of Pacifica.
Yes.
The revitalization of this wonderful, wonderful thing that we have.
Yep. Okay.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.